It's time for high adventure.
Shark dive.
Hand-to-hand combat.
Big wave surfing.
For the next 60 minutes, join us as we load the bases for an expansive, exciting life.
Formula One racing.
Skydiving.
Crab fishing in the Bering Sea.
Stop striking out with a life that's dull and listless.
Hit a home run with the men's dugout.
And now, live from the AM 830 studios in Angel Stadium, broadcasting over 50,000 watts to Southern California, it's the Men's Dugout with your host, Tara Grace.
Hello, Southern California. It was a somber atmosphere at the Big A this week. Earlier this week, we discovered that Rory Marcus, the voice of the Angels, had passed away. Rory spent 11 seasons with the Angels.
Live from the Big A. Happy to have you with us, everybody. I'm Rory Marcus. Welcome to Angels Baseball. The pitch is slapped down the right field line. That's headed to the corner. And Willett is off to the races. He's at third. He's coming to the plate. Reggie Willett scores, and the Angels win it 10-9.
With nobody out and running.
Prior to joining the Angels, Rory Marcus had handled play-by-play duties for the USC baseball team on Trojan Radio Network. He also handled pregame reporting for Trojan football. He served as a reporter for KNX News Radio 1070. He was a sports anchor for Fox 11 KTTV. In his lifetime, he garnered numerous awards, including 4 Golden Mike Awards for radio reporting and 2 Associated Press Sportscasting Awards.
There's a drive by Howie Kendrick into left center field and deep, and Howie Kendrick has hit it out.
Regarded and loved as the voice of the Angels, he in 2008 won a radio play-by-play award by Southern California's Sports Broadcaster Association.
Sends Alex Rios back to the warning track. He turns his back, and Napoli has hit it out.
And the 0-1 pitch to GA.
There was a lot of tears around here earlier this week, and will continue to be. He was much loved and appreciated, and known for his just another Halo victory. People around here have wonderful things to say about him and what a generous spirit he was and a kind person. The Big A will very much miss Rory Marcus.
Has matched the number on his Angel uniform, save number 57. That ties the all-time Major League record. A high chopper towards second base. Rodriguez flips to Wood, so they get one out there. Yankees pitch. Struck him out. He threw in the changeup today.
Today on the Men's Dugout, we are bringing you a special two-hour broadcast. We, as usual, have a smoking lineup for you. Joining us right off the bat is going to be Hall of Famer Perry Tuttle. He was the first round pick for the Buffalo Bills in 82. He was a player for 10 years of pro ball. He'll always be remembered for his game-winning catch during the 82 Orange Bowl that won Clemson a national championship. He remains the only Clemson athlete to appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I had the pleasure of meeting Perry a year ago, and he's one of those people that just you really remember meeting because he's all heart and a great spirit. He's written a surprising book that is having quite an effect on people. It's What White People Want to Know About Black People But Are Afraid to Ask. And you're going to hear the surprising genesis of that book and the amazing effect it's having on the lives of those it touches. Later, we'll be joined by Alan Gompers. Alan, as you remember from last year, was earning an amazing $700,000 per month, more money than he could spend before he found himself in maximum security prison. He didn't find happiness until he ended up in prison, and you're going to hear that amazing story and his sharing with us what's really important in life. We are also going to be, we'll actually introduce everybody here. We have Mark Milan, the real estate man.
Hey, welcome.
He's our Catalina resident expert. He owns the Hermosa Hotel there. He's going to be sharing with us an amazing adventure that he took on the island. He's also going to be giving away to our quick and clever callers a 5-night stay in Hawaii.
Without a doubt. It's going to be a great trip to Hawaii for the end of February, so I want the listeners to stay tuned. Get close to your cell phones. It's going to be a good question and one that most people should be able to answer.
And for those of you quick on the draw, the numbers to dial are 877-883-0830. That's 877-883-0830. I'm always amazed at how quick and clever our callers are. They know their stuff.
It's a great group out there. And we have a second prize that we're going to give at a second question today, which is our weekend experience at Catalina Island. Very exciting. I can't wait to talk about it.
Mark was just coming unglued when he was talking to me about this earlier this week, so don't go away for that. Also joining me is Rudy Carino. He is a avid sports enthusiast. Hello, Rudy.
Hello.
And Alan Gompers, who is going to be joining us a little later in the show to tell us his story.
Hi, Tara.
Hey, Alan. Nice to have you here. Without further delay, we have Hall of Famer Perry Tuttle, first-round pick for the Buffalo Bills in 82 and a 10-year player of pro ball. Welcome to the show, Perry Tuttle.
Tara, good to be here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thank you for having me on the show.
It was such a pleasure to meet you last year. You're one of those people that is bigger than life, and you're all heart, and it's just a pleasure to know somebody like you, Perry.
Well, thanks for that introduction. With six children, they all start with a K, by the way, Tara. It keeps me going like the bunny rabbit, I think.
I don't know how you do it. Folks, Perry has been with the Buffalo Bills, the Atlanta Falcons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and somewhere along the way, I would love for you to tell us the story, Perry. How did you come up with the idea to write this book, What White People Want to Know About Black People But Are Afraid to Ask?
Well, I started playing football in the fourth grade, and it just seems like the locker room is always a safe place where my teammates and I can talk about anything, black or white, and I was playing golf with a good friend of mine who happens to be white, and I'm the only African American in the foursome, and so he used the term black and white in the same sentence.
Now, this is a very notable person. This is somebody who owns a team. Is that correct?
Yes. And I don't want to give his name up, but he owns a part owner of an NFL team. And he used the term African-American and black in the same sentence. And it just seemed awkward to me. But it actually seemed really funny to me. So I started laughing. And he looked at me and he says, "Tut, what are you laughing at?" And I said, "I think you're confused. I don't know whether you want to say black, white." And he walked up to me and he says, "What do you prefer? You know, other than my real name, what do you prefer?" Right? And so we had this open discussion around 18 holes of golf. And, you know, the two guys that was playing with us, I didn't know them too well. And they kind of felt awkward that they should chime in. Eventually they did. And what I did was, Tara, is that I called up eight of my white buddies that I know. I called them up on a Wednesday. And I said, here's the deal. I want you to come on Friday to my house. But here's the question. What is it that you want to know about black folks, but you're just too afraid to ask because you might be deemed as a racist, right?
No, this is great because I think a lot of us feel this way. I've had moments, which I'll share with you in a moment, where I've felt confused and not known the type of things that you're describing here. So tell us what happened.
Well, they came on Friday. I didn't think this was going to last no longer than an hour, maybe an hour and a half. They came over on 6:30. I had pizza and some stuff. And to my surprise, it went well past midnight, like 1 o'clock in the morning. And there were questions. There were silly questions, but there were engaging questions. There were serious questions. And I just wrote them down. And since then, and because of that, I just went from coffee shop to coffee shop. I had town home meetings way before there was town home meetings popular, and so I gather up from strangers of just all white people their questions, 200 questions. I narrowed them down to 75 questions, put them in a book, and it has been overwhelming.
Now, this is a meeting that you expected was going to last maybe an hour, and it went past midnight?
I remember one of the coaches asked this question. And he's the parent. He says, "Forgive me, but I have a sister." And he's just everybody was white. I just had my tape recorder, and he says, "I have a sister who's dating this guy, a black guy, and he's a really nice guy. I don't have anything, but why do I feel so strange about that?" and he asked if I could help, and I couldn't help. But from questions do all black people really have rhythm, and why is it? Why is it that it just seems like they're better basketball players than white players? And we went down the gamut from why you talk real loud in movies. Why do brothers put mag wheels on, very expensive mag wheels on ugly cars? Why don't black guys drive Subarus? Why is it that all white folks drive Subarus?
That was my first car was a Subaru.
Well, see, and you're white.
I'm
right?
white. That's
and,
funny.
And so what has happened in the last 3 months, Tara, it is that people have called and emailed. I remember the first time I went on air, there was this African American. He was a former professor up in Connecticut. I was doing a show here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he had ordered my book on Amazon like a day before or 2 days before, and it's an easy read. It's 75 questions, and so he called me. I don't know how he got my home number, but he called me the next day, and he said this. Matter of fact, my bride answered the phone, and he says, "Mr. Tuttle," and I said, "Yes, sir," and I thought, here we go, right? And he says, "Mr. Tuttle, I want to say two things to you. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you for writing this book." And he says, "The second thing I need from you is that would you do me a big favor? Would you write your next book on what black people need to know about black people?"
Wow.
And I thought, look, I'm not even qualified. And so but here's the thing about this book is that, I mean, it's not an intellectual debate. It's not a research paper. It's just questions that I wanted my friends, my white friends, to take off the emotional handcuffs so that we can be friends, that they don't have to tiptoe around things that we both like, whether it's golf or sports or books or church. It didn't matter. And so because of that, it really has been overwhelming. Where people have called and wrote in, and so it's really been. For instance, I did this. I was invited to this roundtable discussion of 15 corporate leaders here in town, and there was beer. It was just kind of neat setting, and these 15 men, these leaders of their companies, really got down to asking and answering questions. For instance, this one man, we're actually meeting at his office, a gorgeous office building, and he asked the questions to these African American leaders, and there were seven of them. And he went around. And he says, "Just tell me, which one do you prefer, African American or black?" And Terry, now, as being leaders in the room, especially black leaders. How many would you say or guess that would say African-American?
You know what? I'm really glad you're answering this question because I have made this sort of faux pas numerous times and not. I think so many of us wonder which is the preferred term. And I think a lot of us want to be using the preferred term, but sometimes we just don't know. And folks, if you've just joined us, I want to remind you, we're talking to pro athlete Perry Tuttle. He was 10 years in the NFL and College Bowl. Go ahead, Perry. Tell us, what was the response?
Well, out of seven leaders.
If I had to guess, I'd say it was probably. You know what? I think more. This is now. I am not an expert, but I would probably say the majority preferred black.
Six out of seven preferred black.
Wow.
But here's the thing. And it's okay to use both. It really is. And I prefer both, or most folks prefer. But if you did say it, black or African American, there's no big deal. And that, I think that's the thing that surprised the white leaders in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that discussion lasted, I would guess, about 20 minutes of our time. I was a guest speaker there. And so, and because of that, it really has been fun to be a part of that. TUI historically, black university, or have invited me to come and speak on campus, and that's fun to do. I'm invited to this. I don't know, Terry, have you ever been to a black family reunion?
No, I never have. I've got some very good friends who are both doctors. I have an acupuncture practice, which is well known, and I have one of them is an orthopedic surgeon, and the other one is an OBGYN, and they had a big surprise birthday party for her. So there was a lot of family people there. So that does that count?
No. but the deal is, that typically on a good family reunion, they start on Friday and they end on Sundays. And there's always events, there's always games, there's always the catching up and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'm going to be the guest speaker of one in Atlanta. I don't know the folks, but there's this lady that read the book and she invited me to come in. And here a whole family of, I just love it because I love the slang, I love the Ebonics and all that kind of stuff. But the deal is that when I will not be surprised once I get there of what we talk about.
Are they going to talk about your book?
No. It was just we would just talk about everything and everybody, right?
I think that's great, and I think so much of that is missing from our families today.
Absolutely. But some of the questions that will come up, if not questions, at least statements. On, for instance, one of the questions that came from this lady that says, did black folks vote for Barack Obama because he was black, right? You know, that was a question that came from some folks. And, a guy asked this question, you know, why do black people, really talking about young black boys, shoot each other? And then there are good questions or silly questions, I mean, absolutely ridiculous questions. For instance, like the chicken question. Do all black folks eat chicken? I mean, how silly is that? And it's amazing to me over the years of just how we allow, for instance, like a good tasting fruit like watermelon be used as a racial weapon, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, and what are your answers to these questions?
Well, I mean, the book, I just said, you know, the question was, do all black folks like watermelon? Again, I'm not speaking for black folks, but for me, I love it, right?
Well, I think most white people like watermelon too, right?
Well, absolutely.
Should I take a poll around here? Yeah, everybody in the office here is nodding their heads and saying they like watermelon. They're all white.
Well, Tara, if Mark is not in his head, that means I win his prize, so I get a 5 days trip or something. But the deal is that this book, what I wanted to be more than anything, as I finish my life, and I think I have some time, but you never know. But I want.
Isn't that the truth? We don't know. I mean, look at Rory Marcus passed on at 54, and just you never know.
Right. Is that I want to finish my life as a bridge builder,
mm-hmm.
not just about race, but I want to be a bridge builder. With fathers and son, with communities and the next neighborhood, or I want to be a bridge builder and bringing about healing if there's an opportunity by open dialogue. I'm not asking everybody to be friends. I'm just asking, at least, can we talk?
Right. I like the way you described it as taking the emotional handcuffs off.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it really is amazing to me. For instance, I was, can I tell a quick story right quick?
Yeah, folks, if you've just joined us, this is Perry Tuttle, Hall of Famer. He was the only Clemson player ever to be featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's talking about his current book, What White People Want to Know About Black People But Were Afraid to Ask, and its amazing genesis and the positive effect it's having on the people that are in contact with it.
Yeah, and thanks for that. I had a speaking engagement in Atlanta. If you're familiar with what's happening on the, not so much every day, but what's happening on, especially in the South, on the East Coast, the Confederate flag is a heated debate at times. If you're familiar with
that, sure, absolutely.
And I was on my way down to Atlanta, which is a 4-hour drive from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Atlanta, Georgia. And so I stopped about a mile outside of Charlotte to get some cheap gas, and I make this very quick. But getting back on the highway, Interstate 85, going all the way to Atlanta, there was this man who was hitchhiking, thumbing for a ride. He was a white guy, and he had Confederate flags all over his jacket, right? And so there was a car in front of me. He passed him. Well, here's my time. I'm coming down the exit ramp pretty slow, and he looks at me. He put his thumb down. I look at him. There's no way I'm picking up a guy with a Confederate flag on his jacket.
Yeah, right.
Right. Well, I get on the highway, and long story short is this. I get about 4 or 5 miles down the road, and I don't ask me why I did this, but I actually turned around, got off on an exit. Now I'm thinking I have to go and pick this guy up.
Oh, right? Wow.
And so I make my way back up 85 north, and I look to my left-hand side. Sure enough, he's there. And I pull over, and I said, hey, man, you need a ride? And he says, yes, sir. I mean, that's what we say in the South, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He gets in my car, and I think he looks like he's about 30 years old. And I introduced myself, and I said, hey, man, where are you headed to? Because I know I'm going to Atlanta. And he says, and I'm hoping that he would say at least about 15, 20-minute ride. And he says, Tampa, Florida. And I'm thinking, now I got to figure out whether I'm going to lie or not. And he says, hey, where are you headed to? And I said, you know what? I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia. He says, thank you. That's like a 4-hour trip for him. And the next thing I asked him was this, hey, man, can you tell me about your flag on your jacket? Now, Tara, now I'm sure other guys have other reasons why they wear this jacket or why
right.
they flag.
Right.
But this young white man who had his flag on his jacket did not have a racist bone in his body towards me. He had this love affair for his grandfather.
Wow.
And the only reason that he was going to Tampa is because his grandfather had passed away a month before, and he was going to go take care of his grandmother, right? But his love affair for his grandfather had nothing to do with me. And he talked about it. This guy gave me gave me an education about this flag. And now we didn't become best friends or anything, but I remember when he got out of my car in Atlanta, I said, hey, man, do me a favor. And, I work with the Charlotte Bobcats, the NBA game team here as a chaplain. And I said, hey, do me a favor. This weekend when you get a chance, go to church. And I gave him my address. And about 4 or 5 days later, I get a thank you note, just a short little note. He says, hey, thanks for the ride and all that kind of stuff. And he says, by the way, I went to church this past weekend. but the thing is this, is that I have my own stereotypes about this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you had acted on those stereotypes, then you would have been acting on something that just wasn't real.
And that's what we do.
And if we can just sit down and talk about some things, probably a lot of these miscommunications and projections would fade away.
And that's what we do all the time. We judge people by either their skin or whatever. The things I love about Dr. Martin Luther King is just that one statement, that you would be able to judge me by my character. But we still do. All of us have these stereotypes of about each other, and these walls that are built up, they need to come crashing down. And if we can be the bridge builder. For instance, I was on this radio show in Birmingham, Alabama.
Perry, we need to take a quick break. Will you stay with us? Because I'd like to hear the rest of your story, and I'd also like our audience to hear about your next book coming out also.
Okay, great. Good.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break here. We are talking to Hall of Famer Perry Tuttle. He played with the Buffalo Bills, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was the only Clemson player to be featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's talking about his new book, What White People Want to Know About Black People But Are Afraid to Ask. It's Amazing Genesis and the Positive Effect It's Having on People. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Presents their annual Hot Stove League Dinners. On Tuesday, January 12th, two-time All-Star and three-time Gold Glove winner Darren Erstad will share his stories while you dine on a wonderful three-course meal, along with a wine pairing. All proceeds go to benefit the Angels Dream Foundation and RBI. Space is limited, so make your reservation today. Go to hotstove at elcholo.com or call 949-673-0777. That's 949-673-0777. The Hot Stove League at the Cannery in Newport Beach.
AM 830, the home of the Ducks and the drive to the 2010 Stanley Cup. Today, the Ducks blow into the Windy City to beat the Blackhawks. Game time is 4 p.m. Steve Carroll and Dan Wood give you all the live play-by-play action. Every face-off, every victory.
The Ducks go!
AM 830 is Southern California's 50,000-watt home of the Anaheim Ducks. Ducks, Chicago, today at 4 on your exclusive home for the Ducks. AM 830.
Experience the rush of a face-to-face encounter with a great white shark in custom-built cages at Guadalupe Island. Thrill to the interactions with giant mantas and hammerheads at the Socorro Islands. The Solmar 5 offers remote adventure diving at its finest. Solmar 5, with 17 years of experience serving over 10,000 guests, you will enjoy unmatched service and the finest amenities. Expect the adventure of a lifetime aboard the Solmar 5, where wilderness is the ultimate luxury. Dial 866-591-4906. That's 866-591-4906 or online at solmarv.com. That's solmarv.com.
What's up with that? Gotta go buy.
Work? Stress?
Golden sunsets on the beach. You need a vacation. Maui, Hawaiian Islands, Mazatlan, or other relaxing vacation condo rentals. 1 to 3 bedroom units. Call 562-305-1059. Great destinations, 450 to 850 depending on dates. Email requests to auuunold@yahoo.com, auuunold@yahoo.com, and receive our current 30 to 60 day check-in list. What's up with that? Gotta go buy.
Hello, Southern California. You're back to the Men's Dugout on AM 830. We are broadcasting, as usual, live out of Angel Stadium. We are in the studio this morning with Alan Gompers, who's going to be telling us his amazing story in a few minutes. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Doug.
We have Mark Milan, the real estate man, who's going to tell us about Catalina and be giving away 5 nights in Hawaii to our smart and lucky callers.
That's a great trip, courtesy of What's Up With That? Gotta go, bye.
Yeah, right. We're going to have to tell people what that website is. And we have sports enthusiast Rudy Carino in studio. Also, hello, Rudy.
Hey, Tara.
Joining us on the lines, we're finishing up with Perry Tuttle, who has written a very explosive and popular book called What White People Want to Know About Black People But Are Afraid to Ask. Perry is a first-round pick from the 82 NFL draft. He played with the Buffalo Bills, the Atlanta Falcons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was the only Clemson athlete to be featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Perry, you were in the middle of telling us a story.
Well, I was telling a story. Before I do that, just an awkward moment that I had last night at a basketball game is that, you know, you see one of your white friends that you haven't seen in a white time, in a long time, and we spent about 30 seconds trying to figure out the right handshake. I wanted to give him just a regular handshake. And he wanted to bump. I mean, he was between bumping and handshaking. And finally, Tara, yeah. I grabbed his elbow and I said, "Hey, listen, if you want to just be white, it's okay with me, right?" And so we did a regular handshake, right?
That's great.
Anyway, but I was on this radio show in Birmingham. And the host of the radio show, and because he really wanted to talk very serious academic stuff and what can we do, and I'm okay with that. I'm just not qualified, but I'm okay with that. And he says, "What can we do just to bring black folks and white folks together?" And I said, "You know what we ought to do? Hey, let's create a golf tournament, because I love golf." And I just made it up. How about if we just have a golf tournament called Black and White on Green, right?
That's great.
That's a great name, isn't it?
We're actually going to do it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
So you can't come to the golf course with an all-brother team or all-white guy team. So you got to have a...
Where do you get the green guys?
What about yellow and red? Do they fit in there anywhere?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just anybody that want to come, right? But it is, just going back to that awkward moment of just a handshake. It's just, we've made it so hard.
Yeah. Right. No, we don't know what the rules are. I was thinking of this awkward moment I had in my office. I mentioned I have a well-known acupuncture practice, Acupuncture of Beverly Hills, and I have doctors that I refer to and refer to me, and one of them is an orthopedic surgeon, and she is a black woman, and one of them is an OBGYN, and she is a black woman. They were in my office, and I remember telling the story, and I was sort of animated in telling the story, and I used the term black sheep.
Uh-huh.
And I was really animated in telling the story, and I made a point of this black sheep thing that I was saying. And then later that day, I sort of sunk into myself. I thought, oh my gosh, that is potentially a really sort of could be viewed as a racist expression. I mean, and then I started thinking how many expressions that we use in our language where we separate black and white and think of it as good and bad. Do you talk about that in your book?
Oh, there's all kinds of things that, you know, what we've done in the book is that we put, for instance, there's a section in the book just for Ebonics for white people, right? just funny stuff.
I felt terrible that I had used an ordinary term that could be viewed as disparaging to black.
Well, here's a good thing about that situation is that those two people that know you
mm-hmm.
know you,
mm-hmm.
and they probably love you, and they where you probably spent 10 minutes or an hour thinking about that one statement,
mm-hmm.
They probably didn't give it any thought at all.
Actually went to treat one of them in the hospital after she gave birth to her kids.
yeah. And so you spent all that time
mm-hmm.
Doing it, you know, emotional juggling. And that's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes it's awkward. You know, for instance, there was one question that someone asked, you know, why do young black boys speak Ebonics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember I tell the story in my book about when I was playing for the Atlanta Falcons, I met my bride. She was doing radio and TV in Atlanta.
And you've been married 21 years.
21 years.
Six beautiful kids.
Yep. And because of that, my grammar was so bad. I don't know how I got through college. That's probably the reason why I went to play football, right? But my grammar was so bad, Tara, that Loretta would take me in front of a mirror. And for the first 2 months of our relationship, matter of fact, my first love letter to her, she mailed it back with red ink all over. She graded my first love letter. And I would stand in front of a mirror and I would read aloud and she would say, Perry, take your tongue and put it behind your teeth at the top of your mouth and say that. Don't say that. Say that. And you know, because of all of that speech and Ebonics and all that kind of stuff, I love slang. I love to hear the slang. I love going back to my neighborhood, but slang won't work in school.
Mm.
You know, it just won't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether the teacher's black or white, it just won't work.
Right.
And because of that, I have to teach my children about that thing. You know, one of the questions was, can white people use black slang? And my answer is yes, because the time you use it is probably old. But I don't know. I want to be one of those friends that really will kind of have a safe place where we can dialogue together.
And you appreciate being in sort of a sports environment because you said there's a lot more grace in talking about this subject in a sports environment.
Well, and that's the thing is whether it's in the locker room or whether it's in an environment like that is that when it comes to especially teammates. We have one goal, and that goal is to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that, whether it's on a football team or basketball team, it is at the end of the day, we look at the scoreboard and we find out who wins. And when those discussions in the locker room come up, it's really around our downtime. And by that time, I really like being around my teammates, black or white.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the safest place where race is not a big issue.
Very good. Folks, we are talking to Hall of Famer Perry Tuttle. He was the first round pick in 82. He played with the Buffalo Bills, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're talking about his groundbreaking book, What White People Want to Know About Black People But Were Afraid to Ask, and its amazing positive influence that it's having. Perry, where can people get a hold of your book?
You can get it. There's my website, perrytuttle.com, or you can go to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
at least on the East Coast, is in Borders and Barnes & Noble here on this side. I'm not really sure if it's on that side, but at least you can go to Amazon or my website, and we'll get it to you as soon as possible.
Excellent. That's Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, Tuttle, T-U-T-T-L-E, .com. Perry,
yeah.
You have another book coming out, which is rather heart-wrenching. You have an eye problem that you're dealing with, and you're writing another book called In Before Dark, and that's another Perry Tuttle, really heartfelt book. Can you tell us about that?
Well, very quickly, I know that because of your time, I was diagnosed about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, with an eye disease that started off with glaucoma, then now with maculate, where I am losing my sight. And I think I've gone, as of to date, around 7 surgeries. And but a year and a half ago, Tara, I asked my children. And it's probably been the toughest 4 years of my life, painfully. And it really has scared me a lot. But I started living differently. But I asked my children, all 6 of them, if they had one dream that I can fulfill as a dad, what would that be? And so I went to all 6 of my children. My oldest son, who's 19 years old, he told me, my daughter, who's 17 years old, her deal is that, you know, Dad, I just want to dance with you on my graduation night at midnight downtown. And so she has this gorgeous dress, and that's what we're going to do. My 12-year-old son, I would tell stories about building these go-karts when I was small, these box cars. And I'm not a handyman at all, but we took about 2 or 3 months, went to a shop, and we built this go-kart about 7 months ago, Tara, and the thing will fly, right? And so I'm, for instance, my 10-year-old girl, she listened to Alicia Keys every morning. She has a wonderful voice. And her deal, her dream is that she would sing on stage in front of a live audience while I'm sitting there and I can see her. And so I made a couple calls, and she's going to sing this summer, 4th of July, downtown. And she's going to sing Alicia Keys song, right?
That's beautiful.
And so this book is called In Before Dark. When I was a kid, you know, your mom, especially during the summertime,
right before
dark, she would always scream out on the porch in the South, "Hey, come in before dark!"
Right.
Right.
And, so you wanted to make sure you got all the good stuff in before the dark came.
Yeah, and that's where I am right now. I'm trying to fulfill all the good stuff, all the things that I haven't told them. For instance, last Saturday, all we did was in the driveway of just learning how to change tires. My oldest son and my oldest daughter, who drives now, we spent the whole Saturday afternoon just changing tires so that they would know. And so I'm trying to get all this stuff in, and it really is emotional, and but it's also good being a dad that way.
You know, it's cool to have the bucket list, and you're doing the bucket list with your kids. I can't think of a cooler father family thing to do than to get out there and do all those things. But those aren't personal Perry goals. Those are family goals. And to me, that's just the most outrageous part of your list, Perry.
Yeah, thank you so much. One of the things that I did about 6 or 7 months ago, I woke up my oldest son. And got up early in the morning. It was around 6 o'clock in the morning. We drove to the longest bridge that covered the highway of Interstate 485. And we got out and we walked outside and we saw all these cars in this traffic jam. And I said to my son, I said, "Cole, you see all these people that's going to work? They all have college degrees and some of them have their doctorate degree. But they're going to work for somebody else because they don't have a dream of their own. And so I want you not to be forced to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. I want you to have a decision that you choose to get up because you have a dream that wakes you up." And because of that, you know, Cord, he went to his first year of college, Dean's List, but this year he spent the whole year spending 90 days with me every day, where he can now generate his own business. And it's exciting to do that kind of stuff. And everything is strategic now. Everything, you know, I don't waste any time anymore.
Folks, this is Perry Tuttle. He was the first-round pick in the 82 NFL draft. He played pro ball for 10 years, including the Buffalo Bills, Atlanta Falcons, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been sharing with us his latest book, What White People Want to Know About Black People But Are Afraid to Ask, and all the positive effects that that's been having. You can get that book at his website, perrytuttle.com, or go to Amazon and pick it up, or some other booksellers are carrying it also. Perry, thanks so much for joining us here today on the Men's Dugout.
Thank you, Tara. Hey, let's keep in touch. I'd love to be a part of what you're doing.
I would love it too, Perry, really from my heart. You're a great person and would love to do that. Thanks a lot.
Okay, have a great day.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break here. Don't go away. We have a filled, slammed, great show for you today. We're also going to be giving away 5 nights in Hawaii and a pair of ski tickets to Bear Mountain or Snow Summit for our quick and clever callers. We'll be right back after this quick message.
What's up with that? Gotta go by. That's right. What's up with that? Gotta go by. Hey guys, are you planning a vacation this summer? Have you thought about taking you and the family to some of the most exotic destinations on this planet, but were stifled by the good chance that lodging in places like Maui, Mazatlan, and Cancun were simply out of your price range? Scott Fuller here to tell you about the man that can make taking a vacation affordable. Again, I'm talking, of course, about Robert Trust of Trust Travel. Rob can get you a week for you and 3 to 6 of your friends or family to practically anywhere on the planet for between $450 to $850, depending on dates. Maui, Hawaiian Islands, Cancun, Steamboat Springs, and a host of other condo rental destinations. Rob can get you set up for a week from now or at the end of the summer. Email him for his current 30 to 60 day check-in list, AUUUNOLD@yahoo.com. That's AUUUNOLD@yahoo.com. Feel free to visit his brand new website also, whatsupwiththatgottagobuy.com. That's all one word, whatsupwiththatgottagobuy.com. There's one man who can get you a week's stay at the finest destinations this world has to offer, Robert Trust. What's up with that? GottaGoBuy.com or via email AUUUNOLD@yahoo.com. What's up with that? GottaGoBuy.
Angels Tonight is back. That's right, Angel fans. Angels Tonight Hot Stove Report is live from ESPN Zone in downtown Disney with your host, Jose Mota and Terry Smith. You'll get the inside scoop on what's happening with your Angels and maybe even a few surprise guests. It's all happening at the ESPN Zone in downtown Disney with over 120 brand new HD TVs and the best game arena around. Be there Monday, January 11th. Angels Tonight Hot Stove Report from 6 to 8. See you at the Zone. ESPN Zone.
Hey guys, great party. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Jeez, I sure hope it's better than last year. I'm so beat up.
What do you mean?
I promised Susie we could retire in a couple of years, but we lost so much money before we got out of the market, and then I waited too long to get back in. It'll be years now before we recover.
Yeah, you're lucky. I'm already retired, but at the rate I'm spending down my money, I'm planning to go back to work on my 80th birthday.
Wow. I'm so sorry to hear all this, guys. But 2009 was a great year for us. Yeah. Bill and I got a savings plan that protects us from losing a dime from any stock market crash. It has a minimal guarantee to double our money every 10 years. And it pays us an income for as long as we live, even if we've spent all the principal and earnings.
Wow.
Jeez.
Where are you getting all this from?
Two words, Scott Warner. Four words, Straight Talk Wealth Radio.
Listen to Straight Talk Wealth Radio every Saturday at 1 p.m. on AM 830, beginning January 16th.
Imagine an exciting family vacation on the most beautiful rivers in America, including the life-changing, majestic Grand Canyon. A vacation where all your needs are taken care of from beginning to end, without all kinds of hidden costs. Time off where you and your family are off the grid, experiencing breathtaking nature, so you can come home more energized than ever before. Providing first-rate family vacations for nearly 50 years, Western River Expedition specializes in 1 to 7 day trips and memories that last
last a lifetime. Call 800-453-7450. That's 800-453-7450. Or check out westernriver.com. That's westernriver.com.
What's up with that? Gotta go buy it. That's right. What's up with that? Gotta go buy it. Vacation condo rentals. Email AUUUNOLD at yahoo.com. Maui, Hawaiian Islands, Mazatlans, anywhere. $450 to $850 depending on the date. Call 562-305-1059. Email again AUUUNOLD at yahoo.com. And I'll send you my current 30 to 60 day check-in list flyer. What's up with that? Gotta go buy it.
Hello, Southern California. You're back to the Men's Dugout, live out of Angels Stadium. Men's adventure, lifestyle, and fitness, the ultimate destination for men getting the most out of life. I'm your host, Tara Grace. We've had a smoking show so far, and it is continuing now. We've had Hall of Famer Perry Tuttle on board. Alan Gompers is joining us now. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Tara.
Alan was on last year. Alan, what did you think of our interview with Mr. Perry Tuttle?
It was nice. I enjoyed it.
And you had something very profound, which I can count on you for saying. What did you say about him and his talking about people's reactions to his book?
Well, I was listening to the way he was describing the things around his book concerning black and white, and I know I've grown up in a world where that was part of my experience.
And
as a
where
kid.
Were you growing up?
In the Bronx, New York.
Okay, so you saw a lot of that.
Oh, really? And as a teacher too, in the classrooms and on the field and athletics and all of that. But you know what? What really strikes me dramatically is the mystique around the idea that somebody or something can affect the way we experience or the way we transmit our lives.
I can always count on you, Alan, to have like a laser beam perception of an experience. Folks, Alan Gompers, who's with me here in the studio, has written a book called Maximum Security. He was earning an amazing $700,000 per month. This was more money than he was capable of spending. And you weren't happy, were you?
Not really, and this is going back when that kind of money was. This is going back to the early 70s.
When that was like probably $2 million a month.
And the money from the stocks and the underwritings were in the millions on top of it. So.
And you were doing this in the securities business, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you end up making so much money, and what did that feel like for you? Because it was not a happy experience. You were living in fear most of the time.
Now, that was the word I was going to use.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like? It's like, fear is a tremendous energy. And it can drive you to heights that are just incredible in terms of outer success and outer perception of what you're attaining and what you're getting.
Because
in life.
To everybody around you, you were a hero. You were a lifesaver. You mm-hmm. were the guy that could afford anything, go anywhere, do anything.
Make everybody laugh, you know.
Life of the party.
The whole nine yards.
And underneath it all, you were?
Screaming with fear.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that energy was what drove me to attain the things that I got. Because it empowered me on such a level that I went after it with all my heart and soul because I was too afraid to look back.
Having sort of taken a step back and researched and looking at different people, Perry Tuttle, who we were just with, you know, he interacts with lots of very famous, very wealthy people. How many of them do you think are not happy underneath the surface?
With the exception of a handful of what we would call in meditation or in yoga, fully enlightened beings, everyone.
You know, you mentioned yoga, and we had Rudy Reyes on the show last week. We also had a two-hour special. He was the only Marine to play himself on HBO's Generation Kill. He started his life, well, first of all, he came from a terrible background, terrible abuse, terrible drinking. And he rose above that, protected his two brothers. He became a martial art expert and got indoctrinated into the thinking of the martial arts masters. Bruce Lee was one of his idols.
Mm-hmm.
And yoga and meditation were practices that he adhered to and something that he draws much of his strength from. And he's done amazing things. He's done 50 reconnaissance trips. I mean, superhuman things that most of us couldn't even imagine. But yoga, interestingly enough, is part of his practice and part of what he teaches other people. And a lot of us don't think of, I mean, a lot of men especially don't think of yoga as anything but just stretching.
Well, yeah, because the concept around yoga is hatha yoga, which is just really stretching exercises. But yoga really means union with yourself, with God. And the ultimate experience of meditation is total freedom, liberation. And it is.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't find liberation in your soul until you ended up in maximum security prison.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the culmination of every fear-driven moment that got me to a place where I absolutely ran out of options.
And let me just back up a little bit. The Security and Exchange Commission got on your outfit for all the stuff it was doing, and I don't want to get into all the details of mm-hmm. that, but you ended up before a judge with, what, 92 counts against you?
79 counts.
79 counts.
They ran out of counts.
They stopped counting. And you, with all your wit and your wiles and your ability to, I guess, put on a performance, talked yourself out of that.
Yep. And my ego jumped right in afterwards after we were crying in the courtroom like little two-year-old babies, and walked out of the courtroom and turned to my partner and said, well, we closed the judge.
You were a closer.
That's what
Sarah... Didn't you say to me, closers deserve coffee or...
Coffee's for closers.
Coffee's for closers.
the thing about that, it was really so beautiful, is that ultimately, after that experience of meditation that opened my whole life, selling became not a closing, but it became an opening.
Mm-hmm.
Because in selling, when you close somebody, they can't wait to call you the next day because they were intimidated to cancel it. But when somebody...
It goes from being a taking experience to being a giving experience.
Yes, and one where people are you're giving to people an opportunity to grow and get what they need in life rather than trying to get them to get something they don't really want.
That's really profound. So tell us about the shift, because, I mean, you... You're not a huge guy. You're not a Perry Tuttle. You're not a football player.
I'm not.
You're a little white guy. And you ended up in maximum security prison, which mm-hmm. has got to be horrifying.
Well, the initial 6 months that I was in was, I don't have the words to describe the experience that I felt. But if anybody can identify with hell in their own life, I was there.
You must have been terrified.
Beyond anything I could even describe.
How did, and I've heard the story and I love the story. Tell us about that transformation that occurred with you in prison.
Well, I was taken through a police bus, handcuffed to the seat, after I was locked up in solitary confinement for about 2 months. To a maximum security prison, I had received a sentence of 15 years to life.
Actually, we have to back up a little bit for our listeners, mm. because you got off of that first charge, and then you had to keep up your lifestyle.
Right.
You subsequently got into the real estate business, which you were also successful at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you made a selfless act because your wife was Hispanic,
right.
and you were selling to a crowd that only wanted white occupants.
I see you read the book.
I did. And so you made a choice that you weren't going to buckle under and make a lot of money and slut your wife that way.
You know something, Tara? That was the first moment in my life that I acted beyond my fear and chose my heart. And, I knew that my wife said to me that if I'm not coming here anymore, if you decide to do it, I will stay with you, I'll support you, but I'll never come back to this property again where they don't want me.
And that was too insulting for you to bear.
And we were on the verge of making more money than we made even in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner says, I said to him, I'm leaving. He said, are you crazy? He said, within 2 years, you can buy the world. I said, I can't do this anymore. And I left. And it was the first time that I chose my heart over the material world.
But then you had a decision to make as to how you were going to keep up your very extravagant lifestyle.
That was scary. Yeah. I wasn't afraid of the decision I made. I was afraid of how I was going to keep up this elaborate lifestyle that I was living in a mansion in Chappaqua with, the whole nine yards.
Right. Yeah. So you turned to
drugs,
and selling drugs, which caught up with you, and next thing you know, you're in maximum security prison. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that transformation was like once you got there, and what it was like to face your fear, and what happened.
Yeah, my wife panics after we had just renewed our vows, and she winds up with another man. My business collapsed. It seemed like in an instant, everything I had accumulated was gone, or nearly gone. My kids seemed like another lifetime. And I'm on the floor of this cell in a maximum security prison. And the only mantra that was appearing in my mind at that moment was the word life. And that word just kept repeating itself over and over and over. And all I could touch in that moment, I realized everything I had was gone. Were those feelings of fear and loneliness and despair I'd had all my life, only now they were the intensity of it was beyond my thought that I could even survive another second. And the next day they sent me out to the prison yard, 2,000 inmates, most of them lifers, nothing to lose, scared to death. And the knot in my pit of my stomach was pure fear, and it felt like it was consuming me. I mean, literally consuming me. And I saw a running track. I'd been an athlete all my life, and I'd always used sports as a way of trying to get my mind out of the way. And I started to run around the track, and all of a sudden I broke down, and emotions and tears started pouring out of me. I couldn't control it, and stopped about 20 minutes later.
Probably not the best thing you want to present to your inmates. Oh.
There they are, and I got to a place where it was flowing out of me so uncontrollably I didn't even care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Who saw me or what went on. Mm-hmm. It kind of transcended my self-consciousness, so to speak. And when it stopped, I was on empty. And I went to a corner of the prison yard, closed my eyes, sat down against the wall, and I just went into a state of meditation. Now,
and you didn't even know what meditation was at
the time.
I didn't
know what I was doing. I had no idea. It just happened spontaneously. And about a half an hour later, I opened my eyes again, and I looked out, and what I saw absolutely blew my mind. Because, you know, the only way I can describe that is, you know, when you're living your life in fear all that time, you're in a state of contraction. And you know when you're contracted, you don't see or perceive things around you the same way. They're limited. It's like you're in a dark room all your life and suddenly a light goes on and you see chairs and tables and bookcases and pictures that were there all that time but you were never aware of. It was like that. And in that moment, I was seeing a world that I never knew existed, and it was exquisitely beautiful.
Folks, we are talking to Alan Gompers. He is the author of Maximum Security. We need to take a quick break here. We are at the top of the hour. We're on a special two-hour Men's Dugout. Alan is telling us the story of how he found enlightenment in maximum security prison. He's been on the show before. It's an amazing story. He's an amazing person, and you actually can get a chance to meet him coming up because he's on a book tour right now. We'll be right back after this quick message. We are giving away 5 nights in Hawaii to our quick and lucky callers and a pair of lift tickets to Big Bear Mountain or Snow Summit. We'll be right back after this.